This is Pushing the Odds on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Las Vegas. Here's Matt Perrault.
It is PTO as we continue with Super Bowl week live in Las Vegas, and we head back to the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Hotline. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. When I was growing up north of Boston, about 20 miles north, I grew up during the Ty Law era, and I used to say, Ty Law's a great cornerback, and my dad would say, no, he's no Mike Haynes. Sorry, he's no Mike Haynes. And Mike Haynes joins us right now here on the program. Mike, how are you? Thanks to knowing your stats, knowyourstats.org. How are you this morning?
I'm doing great, and Ty Law is good. He's a player, man.
So, and you were too, though, my friend.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, and I'm glad I had a chance to play in New England. When I was first drafted there, it was a little scary. You know, in 1976, the year before, I think they only had three wins. So it's not a place that you get drafted that you're super excited about going to. You know,
I can imagine.
But we turned it around right there. You know, the very first season. Then you know, that started at least the thinking that we could have a great team.
Well, you were elected to the Pro Football Hall of Fame in 1997, the Patriots Hall in 1994, and it was always fun for me growing up in New England where we'd hear, you know, Steve Grogan, and we'd hear Andre Tippett talk about you and playing in New England and the teams you guys had. I was born in 77, so I didn't really see you in your prime. I saw the videos after the fact. But, you know, when you look at the Patriots now, can you believe what they've turned into?
You know, yeah, I guess I can. You know, I've been around sports my whole life, and, you know, I know how special that is to have a team like that. But I grew up in Los Angeles, and where the Lakers and the Dodgers and USC and UCLA, either football or basketball or track, or, you know, they had great teams all the time. So I'm used to great teams. But in the NFL, when you got the best of the best, that seems really hard to do, and it's one unbelievable accomplishment. And it would not have happened if not for Robert Kraft and Bill Belichick and a quarterback like Tom Brady. I just think that you just have the perfect situation, perfect storm, as they say.
Yeah, well, before we go back talking about the game, let's talk about know your stats and talking to your doctor. This is a really important thing for guys, and it's something that, you know, guys sometimes don't want to talk about and don't like talking about, but it's a really important thing to go to your doctor and talk to your doctor about prostate screening, right?
Yes, and it's getting more important. Last year, it was 1 in 7 men were being diagnosed for prostate cancer in their lifetime. Now it's 1 in 9. So the numbers are going the wrong way. And, you know, that means more men are dying. Every 18 minutes, another man dies of prostate cancer. And prostate cancer is a cancer that if you could pick a cancer, that would be the one you'd want to pick.
Right.
But you have to find out in the early stages when it's treatable. You get it treated early, the 99.9% chance you're going to be fine. But if you wait and you have a symptom of prostate cancer, oftentimes that's too late. So you need to know your family history and the likelihood of you getting this disease. And if it doesn't run in your family, you can probably wait until your mid-50s before you start talking to your doctor about it. But if it does run in your family, you might want to start a lot earlier, maybe in your early 40s. And that's just a simple blood test. We're not asking a girl to cut open anything. It's a simple blood test and a quick digital rectal exam. And you can just start to monitor it. And when if your PSA numbers get out of whack, then you go in and do the biopsy and see if there's something going on. But if you just wait and do nothing, you may not like the end result. You got to be proactive and start having these conversations with your family members and your doctor, so that you're doing the right thing.
Yeah, look, I mean, this is something that I think guys have to talk about because I'm 40, and I've already had a colonoscopy 2 years ago, and I've tried to be proactive, and it does not run in my family, but it's something where I think guys have to be aware of how common this is, and you mentioned the numbers as a going in the wrong way, and in particular, if you're African-American, right, this is a big section, a big community that's not being tested and not going to the doctors enough, right?
Right, or when they do go, they go in the later stages once they've had a symptom, you know, and then it's too late. So, you know, if you have the biopsy, they give you a Gleason score, and that tells you how aggressive your cancer is. And so when I went by totally luck. You know, I really didn't know to be looking out for this, but a doctor scared me with all this information. So I called my primary care doctor, And he said, you know, Mike, your PSA is going up. Since you are African-American, since African-American women are more likely to get it, since you are African-American, let's get you the biopsy. And that's the only way you're going to tell. And unfortunately, my biopsy was positive. But fortunately, my Gleason score was 6, which means we caught it early in the early stages. And I had plenty of time to think about what I wanted to do. On the way here, I sat next to a gentleman who had a Gleason of 9. And they got in and they took his prostate out. But, again, it's in the later stages, so he had to have radiation. And now he's still in radiation. And he's still taking those chemo pills and things like that. All those things could have been avoided, potentially, and I think a good chance would have been avoided had he found out in the early stages when his Gleason was a 6. And for a guy like him, prostate cancer ran in his family. His dad had it. His older brothers had it. And he should have been looking for this, you know, all along and found out about it in early stages, and he didn't. So whatever we're doing, we're not, you know, in our campaign. We need to do more. Guys are still knowing it runs in their family, and they're still making poor decisions and waiting until they have a symptom. That's too late. Guys, you just need to be proactive. Maybe we need to spend time talking to the ladies and the guys' daughters or whatever to make sure they get guys to the doctors. Because guys that for some reason are not making a decision that is the right decision to keep them in the game of life.
Talking to Mike Kanes, Pro Football Hall of Famer and cancer survivor here on PTO. KnowYourStats.org is the website to get more information. Do you think it's because it's that part of the body, it's in a part of the body that guys don't like to have the doctor go fool around with, that's part of the reason why they're not being proactive?
I don't really know. For me, I just had no idea of what it was. Matter of fact, when people said prostate cancer, I didn't even know what area of the body that was. I didn't know where it was or what it did or anything. As a matter of fact, it wasn't until I was diagnosed that I knew as much as I know now. So, I've actually talked to a doctor that really didn't know. You know, isn't that crazy?
Wow. That's not good.
A guy said, he asked me, he said, hey, Mike, if you have your prostate removed, can you still have kids? And I said, yeah, of course you can, because your sperm live in your testicles. They don't live in your prostate. You may not be able to do it naturally. You could do it artificially, but you can still have kids. So there's a lot of information that guys do not know. Maybe they think they know.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe when we're talking about prostate cancer, we need to be a little bit more graphic and tell people where it is and what it does and all that. But whatever the reason, we got to get better at it, because right now, as I said, the numbers are going the wrong way, and we need to change that.
So if you are between the ages of 55 and 69, we want you to go talk to your doctor about prostate cancer screening. But if you have it in your family, 40 to 54, you guys should be out there having conversations with your doctor and looking at this and pre-screening it for sure. Let me get back to football for a little bit with you. And what, when you see the Patriots back in the Super Bowl and you see what's happening here with the NFL, how has the game changed in your mind from when you were playing?
Well, I think it's changed in a couple of ways. One is just the tackling, how the concern for CTE and things like that has changed the tackling, which I'm actually glad to see that there's concern. I actually wish the field was a little bit bigger.
Yeah.
That'd be my wish, and just make it a little wider. I mean, guys, the players have gotten bigger and faster. Everybody agrees with that. When I came in the league in 1976 on the Patriots, we probably had 4 guys that ran 4.4. Today there's probably 25 guys that run 4.4. Some of those guys are linebackers. Some of them are linemen, are running sub 4.640. And the field is the same size. So I remember it was a Monday night game, and John Gruden drew a graphic, says, look how many guys on this tackle. And he circled them. There were 6 guys on the tackle on the sideline. I'm thinking, wow, 6 guys, and the ball just went from the middle of the field to the sideline. And there were 6 guys in on that tackle. Well, that never would happen before. The cornerback had to make the right choice. Otherwise, it was going to be a big play. And all he would do is try to turn the play into somebody else. Today, it's completely different. I mean, they call it different. The angles are different, because the guys are so much faster. So that's huge. Also, the amount of time that they get a chance to practice and work on plays and things, the guys are a little bit smarter. They make better decisions. And I think that we see that because we're getting a better quality game than we did back in the old days. So a lot of guys would love to get back to the days when I played where they were hitting, but the equipment wasn't the same where we could hit the way they can hit today. You know, there's a little bit, more dangerous, I'd say, with those head to head. I never ever would think about hitting another player with my head. I always thought about using my shoulder. I think a lot of guys tackle in that way or learn to tackle that way back in my era.
You know, it's funny you say that because Alex Smith yesterday, I heard him say on a different show, I heard him say that about he wants the field wider as well because they can't do, you know, your normal toss sweep that used to be effective to get to the edge now cannot be run because of what you're talking about. And you mentioned putting a cornerback in a position. It's not cornerbacks making that tackle anymore, right? It's defensive ends and linebackers.
Right, exactly. The rules, and so a lot of people don't go back to where the hashes were wider. You know, in the old days, the hashes were wider, so the running plays would go to one side of the field because that was the wide side of the field. You know, and it was truly a wide side. And in those days, very few running backs would get 1,000 yards. You know, as soon as they moved the hashes in, running backs, all the good ones, you know, were getting 1,000 yards or close to 1,000 yards rushing.
Right.
And now, now, as you're mentioning that Alex is smart enough to see, obviously, is that the guys are so fast, the field seems too small. So they might need to have to make some changes. They either make the field bigger, change the hashes or something. They do need to do something. And I vote for making the field a little bit wider. The length is fine, but yeah, I think if we made it wider, it'd be better. I mean, in every other sport, baseball, the little leaguers, they don't play on the same size field that the major leaguers play on. But youth football, they do.
Right.
Same exact field, you know.
Yeah, it's very true. Talking to Mike Hayes here on PTO. So, Mike, you went from the Patriots to the Los Angeles Raiders. I'm here in Las Vegas. In 1983, 84, when you were playing with the Raiders, if somebody told you that one day the Raiders would be in Las Vegas in 2020, would you have believed them?
Yeah, I would have. You know, it's funny. I used to have these conversations with Mr. Davis, and you know, he said, Mike, we're thinking we might have to move. And I said, look, Mr. Davis, you can move the Raiders to Des Moines, Iowa. You're still going to sell out that stadium because the Raider fans, they love football and they love the Raiders. And so, you know, to move to a place like Las Vegas, that's like a no-brainer. I feel sorry for, you know, the Oakland fans. You know, because they've seen the Raiders move to Los Angeles and back to Oakland. Now they're going to be moving to Las Vegas. But it's still close. My fear, to be honest with you, is that they might lose the home field advantage by being in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Because I think when they're playing in Oakland, then you have, you know, Oakland fans coming every single home game, every game. Now they may not choose to do that. They may come maybe two games a season or whatever. But when they're promoting the other team that's going to be playing against the Raiders, all of their fans from all around the country, that's the one game that they're going to say they're going to go to. They're going to be in Las Vegas. They're going to have a great time. And then you can imagine people outside the United States and Mexico and Asia and Europe, if they're going to be coming, if they happen to never seen an NFL game, they're just going to come to the game. They don't care if it's the Raiders or whoever the other team is the Raiders are playing. They're just going to go in there. And their reason for coming might be to have time entertainment. It may not be the game. You know what I mean? So
yeah.
So those are the concerns I have. And I've actually talked to Mark about it just to let him know that, you know, that it is something to be concerned with. But he's doing a good job. I think moving the team there wasn't an easy decision for him. I know he really wanted to stay in Oakland. But he'll make this one work. He'll do what he can. And I'm sure the Raiders will be successful there.
I've made the case that people in Los Angeles are going to make the 3.5-hour drive consistently over to Vegas to watch the Raiders because of how passionate they are about the Raiders in L.A. Would you agree?
Oh, yeah. That's nothing. A 3.5-hour drive. I know guys, believe it or not, that are 75 years old, and they just jump in their car and head over to Vegas. You know,
beautiful.
Like a lot of people think, hey, well, that's only for young people. I know older people jump in their car and drive to Vegas. So it's not that far.
You know, not at all. He is Mike Hayes. You can go to knowyourstats.org for prostate screening, knowyourstats.org. Mike, thanks for the time today. Really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.